Baseball Podcast. It is episode 133. I am Josh Roop. With me, my co-captain, as always,
Scott Larson.
And Scott, we've got two awesome guests on today. They're going to be talking to us about their new game, Barry O's Barbecue Challenge. If you want to buy this game, where are you buying it from?
I will contact Zach and Nicole Mini at Flipping Out Pinball. They have always been able to help us out. And if you want that specialty game, they can definitely help you out. And definitely Barry O's Barbecue Challenge definitely fits the bill for a specialty game.
Definitely.
So we're going to talk about that today.
Awesome. And if you want to see our pretty faces, I keep forgetting to say this at the beginning of the episode, you can join us on YouTube and look at all of us as we smile. See Fix and Steve Bowden. You guys are here joining us from American Pinball. We're excited for this game. Tell us about this game, guys. Tell me what.
Give us the rundown.
Yes.
You want to do it or you want me to do it? All right, fine.
Go for it, Steve.
Barry O's Barbecue Challenge is a game that I hope is a worthy tribute to Barry's career in design.
Absolutely.
That is why you'll see some various call-outs to that in the game. But as far as the game itself, Barry O's Barbecue Challenge, you are an unknown chef, an unknown challenger at the festival.
Okay.
It's the greatest festival in the universe. This has barbecue and it has hot rods there. You know, most barbecue festivals have lots of car shows there, so I really like that mix of having them together. So your goal is to try to basically rule the festival as an unknown challenger and defeat the six stars of barbecue who are on the center of the play field, who are in these barbecue contests with you. So your goal is to not only defeat them, but while you're doing that, also do some of the hot rod challenges that are also part of the festival. So you're showing your multitasking abilities, and in that way, you are basically becoming the master of the festival. Master of cooking, master of hot rods, and then some other things, some Easter eggs that might show up that might come in later. We'll see.
Okay.
Nice. And this is a really cool tribute to a man that helped guide and direct pinball. Some say that he saved it back in the 80s with Space Shuttle, that design. I mean, he was on the first talking pinball machine, Gorgar. I mean, Barrow's got quite the illustrious career over pinball over the last four decades.
But Space Shuttle, I finally get to remind people of this. I have said it before, but in other interviews, but Space Shuttle was my first game that I ever played in my life. It was Space Shuttle. So being as involved as I am in the release of this game is a really special moment. It's sort of like an arc of my life, really, that was my first game that got me into pinball. And now with this game, being able to work with him as much as I did on this and to have this come out the way that it did, it really is a special thing. And I hope people enjoy it and can appreciate what we have here.
Okay, yeah. So let's go through the playfield a little bit, because obviously there was a collaboration to take Barry's ideas to bring it into this, but it's not solely, this is a group project, and it's a tribute, isn't it? It, like, you're bringing a lot of Barry O things, but you had to take it to the finish line with extra help.
Well, let's step back here. Let's just rewind a little bit.
Okay.
Get the whole picture. Okay. So in August of, it would have been 2021, we know that Deep Root or
Voldemort
imploded. And Barry had already been in contact with me beforehand. Obviously, Steve was there. Barry had helped me find Sophia Ryan, who is our mechanical engineer. And so Barry called me up and said, "Hey, David, things are going south. I think the company's going down. I need a gig." And he also shared with me at that time that he wasn't feeling well, that he had been battling cancer again, and certain things have happened. And I kind of shared this with Josh just a little bit ago, that we wrote up the contract. We started the contract in August. And with Barry, it was me and him on the contract. Barry had a handshake before the contract even started. So he immediately started working with Steve in August on the game design. Barry has always been considered a quick gun, a quick person with the pencil, and he could bang out a play field really fast. Mark Ritchie always thought it was amazing what Barry could put together in a very short period of time. The contract was written up, and at that time, before the contract was finalized, I had said to Barry, why don't we put something in here for your family? And we did. We put it in way before he started that his family would get a royalty, which was different than the whole industry has ever done. So we wrote that up for him and we put that in. And then the contract was signed by legal's legal team and everything in January when we made the announcement of him joining American General.
But that was January 2023, right?
January of which year you're talking?
23.
That's January 22.
Yeah, so last year, 23.
Right.
Okay.
Been 1 year since we did that. So January 23, we made the announcement, and then, yeah, I know, it's like, it feels like it's flying.
Or is that 22?
It may be.
It's 22. It has to be 22.
Okay.
So after we finally got Perry on there, we made the announcement, and after legal signed up all the paperwork, Steve had already been working with him. All right, the game plan and layout was pretty much done. In fact, Barry called me up, and he had just sent over to Zofia the entire Whitewood playfield layout. And Steve had already seen it, and we were going to start making the first Whitewood for him. In fact, I told Barry, this is how it went. It was on Friday. I said to Barry, thank you for getting all the paperwork in time. We're going to do this, X, Y, and Z. I said, give me a month or two. Because it's going to be, end of March, April. Let's have you come into the office and flip the whiteboard for the first time. And he said, that'd be better to be up in Chicago during those periods of time. Perfect. So that's how we left it. And then literally 4 days later, his wife called me and told me he had passed
away. Okay.
Complications of his cancer. So that took a shock for us. Steve really doubled down, worked on all the rules, everything that he had already worked with Barry, went through all the notes on Barry, grabbing everything he possibly can that they had already talked about in that whole period of time.
Right. Well, in the design phase, when we were talking about this stuff, I already had a bunch of things that we had worked on the initial design part for that first
part. Okay.
Was submitted. So I hear the news, I get the call, I have the moment, I get stoic, make sure, get back, you're at work, you're presentable, to tell people, okay, and then it becomes, okay, try to get everything down that we were going to talk about when he was here on paper, because I would just not have been able to live with myself if I had forgotten some stuff that we had talked about that wasn't written down. There was a lot already down. But there was literally stuff like in the initial rule set that I had covered in green that people were burying us, do not touch this. We must have this. We must do this in this game. So some of that was brought, all of that was brought forward as I was writing it down and making sure I had everything done as the initial plan was going forward. So that's how that worked out. So, okay. But at that point, once I had processed the things I need to process with what would happen. And I began to work with, okay, what do I have here? It became, how can I make this a Barry game? How can I make this a Barry tribute game? What can I use here? We have the space shuttle parts. We have parts we wanted to do with it. And that's how it sort of flipped over into, I'm going to try and make this a Barry game.
And pretty much with the team, when we lost Barry, it was pretty much within that week, we as a team sat down and said, let's dedicate this to Barry. And that's when Barry O's Barbecue Challenge, we want to call it Barry Osborne's Barbecue Challenge. No, Barry O's Barbecue Challenge just had a great ring to it. And we're like, this works. This works for a dedication for a person who, and then Steve and the rest of the team just started working on this. We built up the whitewood, we flipped it on time, which we were going to do. We found one problem with it, and Dennis helped out with that. We looked at the design. Barry had the three bank drop targets.
Yeah, the three bank was going to be on the right. You notice that they're right there, right?
Yeah.
So our thought was, let's see if we can have the three bank lead up into a combo shot into the upper hole.
Okay.
But the problem is once you take out a few of those targets, it gets a little dead up in there. where certain things aren't as smooth up there. So
it came to be a ball trap with the drop target was down.
And it's like, just put it in the space shuttle position, please.
Okay.
Let's put it in the space shuttle position. It belongs there. When people see it there, they're gonna recognize why it's there. I mean, never mind. It does a special on the art, but that's much later. But okay, we're gonna recognize why we put it there. It makes sense there. The backhand is there. The sweep is there. So that's why that moved.
Absolutely. And Dennis did it within like a couple of days. It wasn't
quick.
Wasn't that hard?
Dennis was man on the spot with that. I was like, yep, Dennis, you're right. Yep, I got it. Yeah, you're right, man. You got it.
And from there, it was just small little changes, nothing wholesale. The whole game design was there. We brought in the smaller LCD, but really the inserts up in the top, all of that was pretty much locked in already with Barry. We already had stuff pretty much done. Now, the small story about it, we can tell them the original theme of the story was going to be car hop. But we kind of told him that car hop had already been taken, had already been done, and it's a little outdated. And it wasn't that hard to explain about barbecue restaurants and barbecue festivals.
Especially since he being in San Antonio and taking me on as well, the people to various barbecue places, and him cooking up barbecue, and me being at his house with his family, eating some barbecue. So that's...
Trump
is not random, okay?
No convincing to get Barry on it. He even said there's more barbecue restaurants here than McDonald's.
Right.
And he's like, I understand it. I understand it. So.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess, I don't know what part of the show this would be, but I mean, like, you're talking about the top lanes, right?
Yeah. Yep.
The original design, there's four top lanes, right? That's with one row of lights. Now there's two rows of lights. Why? Because I wanted that to be Barracuda.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, I can make a second row and have the fun thing with Barracuda brought back in, make it a little harder. I like Barracuda's top lanes because I can't do them. I'm really bad at it. So it was really exciting to play that way. So that's the one thing as far as the transition from the Barry's original design of the one row of lights to two rows. Like, it's like that. So, but as far as, we showed some of the original designs
at Texas. But the other thing we basically talked about was is that we, because Steve and I both love Space Shuttle. I've owned two Space Shuttles. I remember playing Space Shuttle when it came out also, you know. And I know what everybody says, it's safe, you know, pinball. It had a good run at Williams. It did some good numbers. It had some cool stuff. And people love Space Shuttle. But one of the things that Steve and I and everybody always talk about is when the balls are in the lock, you hit it and you can't do much with it. So we were looking at this because we had two physical locks on the play field that are going to lock balls. Is there a way we can do stuff? And we started... talking about it, and then Ryan McQuaid, who jumped in here, said, hey, we can turn them into where they can roll back and roll forward, and that's when Bash Lock pretty much got developed. It was really quick. Ryan worked on the whitewood, made a prototype to show the ball rolling back and rescoring, back and rescoring.
And then more importantly, that you couldn't Dracula shape the lock. Like, you can't shape the game and the ball will move and count. That was one of the first things I checked. And once I saw that, I'm like, oh, okay, I give my blessing, yes. Okay, because I want people to see if we can hit this, see if we can score it, see if they can hit it out, we can score them for that, put it back in, we can score them for that. Things like that started to form after the proof of concept worked, and Ryan played big on that, so.
Yep, and he just kept championing that with Dennis, working through whitewood revisions, to the point where we got the manufacturer of the playfields to be able to replicate that lock feature every time. And it just came out. It worked out great. And then we made rules for it. And it's funny because we talked about calling it Smash Saucers, but that was kind of a thing. And then we said, well, why don't we just call it Bash Locks? And then that just took off, and it just stayed with it. So We've called it Bash Locks ever since. So it's kind of fun, you know?
So looking at the timeline, because you said that Barry hired in on August of 21 and you guys announced in January of 22. And then sadly, he passed away a month after you guys announced that. He did that. So he essentially did this play field in about 6 months or less.
Yep.
And you said you were known for just making.
That's Barry's timeline. He was always mm-hmm. known at Williams and everybody to start something in 6 months. And it's funny, he had already started working on another game, which I doubt we'll ever see the light of day because
right.
he only had a concept, which was as crazy as this is going to sound. And
I know what it is, yeah, of course. He was talking to me about this too. I mean, this was going to be the second one.
It was going to be called American Pinball.
Yeah.
Factory.
Parts and service.
Parts and service. Where you actually you have to shoot the ball around and get the pinball machine made. Put it in a box and get it to the dock door so the truck can pick it up.
Yep.
It's great.
I have initial notes on that, which I've never touched, but they're just there. That's in addition to this game. We were talking about that too. So it was, it was basically going to be, Barry's coming here. I was going to be with Barry, and we were just going to be like a tag team, really, doing Barry style games, the love of games. So.
And Steve and Barry worked together in Baltimore beforehand, and they were excited about some of the stuff they were bringing out, and then that never got to see the light of day. So when this came about, I was like, we have to give it. Steve was the first one in my corner saying, yes, let's bring this game out, let's dedicate it to Barry. And I said, you remember everything? He goes, yep, I wrote everything.
I wrote everything down.
So.
I have a plan. I have a plan to work out, which became a multifaceted plan, and it finally got melted down to one coherent plan, because that was a bit of time before that happened, as I was trying to work out how to make this one coherent theme while also making it a Barry game. So there's a bit of marrying that has to go around on there to make that work. But once we had that, then we were basically running. And I am pleased with what has come out, but there's still more updates to come.
Oh, absolutely.
This game a lot. There's a lot that's not in here. There's a lot of rules that aren't in here.
And assets.
So, a lot of assets not in here yet.
That will be in
I am hoping that once this.
You're saying not yet. Not yet.
I have a plan.
We're still developing it. We've had three updates. And there are more coming.
Okay.
And so for everybody else to know, when we were in Texas, if you didn't catch it at the Texas seminar, Texas also had the new beta version of Galactic Tank Force code. So very shortly, that beta code will be available for everybody. We had it at the show, testing it, and it played flawless. So we were very excited about that, too. Remember, we're a small company. There's Steve, Casey, Joe.
Jessica on animations.
You're talking about a team of maybe 15 people that are building and coming up with a concept of a game.
And then God bless the manufacturers and the
That's right. All those guys back here take it and make it work and look great. And we can't forget Dan Hughes, right?
Yeah,
the guy who did all the art for this.
I love his car. Like his car artwork, right? I love those. And so wanted it. And so that's what you're seeing.
I like the barbecue guys at the bottom. They definitely look straight out of a barbecue thing.
The Burton brothers?
Yeah.
Burton Bros, that's right.
Yep, absolutely.
Those Burton Bros. It's the Burton Bros.
But understand that Dan Hughes also worked at WMS. He also worked at Williams. He did artwork for, I want to say, Indianapolis 500. He did work at Elvin G. He knew Barry. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He knew Barry, the prankster that he was, and was excited to work on this game with Barry. Okay? And then when Barry passed, he was like, well, we have to definitely do something. And he did the VAT class, and he did everything else that we've seen on this playfield. So, pretty cool.
Okay, now there is something that I I would like to give you the opportunity to discuss, because there have been some rumors floating around or allegations that, sure, you know, that Barry O's estate was not included in the original plans for this game. Now, that's what some people have speculated on other podcasts. And so I just figured this would be an easy way of asking you directly. Were they always involved in the plan?
Yep. From day one. That's why I said that in the beginning with the contract, when I wrote that up with the contract with Barry in mind, and his wife knew about it too. And listen, Kathy has been great. She has been patiently watching. We have sent her updates on the game. She's known what it was coming. She couldn't wait to see if we put some hidden stuff in there for tributes, which she absolutely broke down and started crying and loved. But we kept her apprised through the whole process of this, and she was very excited about it. So, you know, some podcasts would also say that I'm dead, or that I'm dying, or I've, you know, fallen and got hit by a truck. I don't believe everything you hear on some podcasts. You know, listen to what comes straight from the manufacturer themselves. We want to tell you that something's coming on, we'll tell you, okay? And that's why we've killed a lot of rumors that, for some reason, there's always a rumor about me, you know, and my earthly demise. So there you go. Not true. And by the way, some podcasters might say one thing, but like you said, Zach, Manny, and Nicole, they have ordered barbecue games. So, yes, you can buy games through Zach, Manny, and flip it out, because they have already ordered them.
Okay.
I would say I'm glad also, Bowden, that you've pointed some of the stuff out about Barracuda and the space shuttle stuff on the left side. Because one thing we have here too is this is just like a replica of Hot Wheels. But if you look closely at this, I mean, I love that not only are you like showing Barry O in the artwork, but you're also doing it through the games that he made as well.
Mm-hmm. And so, did you figure out another one? Figure out another one that's on the playfield. I told you Barracuda. I gave you that one. Space Shuttle and Space Station are obvious. How about that right ramp? I'll give you that. What's the right ramp we're getting from? What is that?
Okay, I'm trying to zoom in on.
What do you see on the right ramp?
I see the spatula, which is kind of cool. Oh, the way that you guys
keep playing the spatula. What's that look like?
What are those inserts? What do they say?
Inserts say, you know, play filled.
Uh-huh. Sorry, I can't zoom in that close on it.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what they are. Okay, so you have the six inserts, and they say 1.5x, 2x, yep. 2.5x, 3x, 3.5x, and 4x.
Yep. Okay. Okay.
What Barry game does that?
Exactly. Of course you're going to put me. Of course, you're going to put me on the spot like this.
Yeah. I'm waving the flag. I'm waving the flag. I'm not the rules guy.
Is it Dracula that does that?
You have the answer, and you're yelling at your podcasting.
Yeah.
Is it Dracula that does it?
You know what? They just might have to get in a TARDIS at some point and go.
And now you gave it away. Now you gave it away. But there's things like that, yeah. So, yeah, a little bit of, I mean, didn't even.
Let me see if they figured it out after I gave them that clue.
Well, Doctor Who is the target.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
No, I didn't say it. I said they got to get in their time machine and go back.
Okay, I know what a TARDIS is. Okay. I mean,
time and relative dimensions and stuff.
Okay, yeah, I don't know what it stands for, but I know what franchise it is. And it's the blue phone booth that takes you everywhere. Yeah.
But it is fun to see people find that, like, organically, because that's the reason why I did it like that, is for people to and then other people can just play a fun game, you know, they don't know. But people who know,
Now, talk about the screen in the middle, okay? Mm-hmm. Because there are challenges with having screens in the middle of a play field, so... Talk about the incorporation. Talk about the decision of putting that in there, and talk about how it's incorporated into the game.
Remember, the screen in the middle is not mirrored, so that's very important.
That's very
important. That was very important that we didn't do that, because I needed to have more information in your face than I wanted. And if you've played the game, you'll see the two big numbers there. There's a reason why they are always in your face looking at you, because it's sort of like a constant risk reward system there that's always in your face, along with the quick along with the quick reference to certain things that are in the upper screen, like the meter, like the sauce and all that as well. But I wanted to make sure this was also a convenient place to look at information where you're not looking up as much, because, you know, it's on a fast game like this, it's hard to, mm-hmm. it's hard to do that. So I want to put the very important information, it's business time down there on the screen. It's party time in the back, really.
Right, and mostly the player's screen, so it's right. giving you all the player's information.
Like your score is always there. Like the current player's score is always mm-hmm. the bottom sitting there, so everyone else's is up there. But your player's score is down there. Once you start a mode, there'll be tool tips up there, like, you know, pro tips, like shoot this many, whatever. So, and it'll have the score running down, so you always know what you're scoring. That was one thing. Another thing that was important to me is to try to make the scoring as transparent as I could. Like, you know, sometimes you shoot shots and the shots were 3,473,000. You have no idea why. I wanted to be able to show you why that shot was worth 3.5 million because you just saw it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I'm mostly there. There's one thing that I want to work on that's not as transparent, but I'm working on it. The mini screen helps with that too. It helps with that too. So, and I've heard people appreciate the mini screen. And as far as like, you know, being a convenient place to look and everything, but
it was great talking to you. Steve's gonna stick around.
Yeah,
keep talking. So I'll catch you guys later.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, David.
Go, Steve.
All right. So back to the screen. So yeah. So one of my goals with this game is to really make it a quick fire tournament game too. So if you it's sort of in the way of why those two numbers are there, why are they always in your face? Once you learn why they're there, and it's sort of a let's make a deal, you know, do you want to keep pressing your luck sort of thing with that system. So I am glad we have it there. I'm hoping people will be able to use it in a way that will help them play better. Especially since it's in a view that you're kind of looking in that area most of the time anyway, you know. So yeah.
So one question I have, looking over these pictures and whatnot, is that you guys have spinners on the ramps.
Mm-hmm.
What's kind of the logic behind that, and is there something special that we need to accomplish with them? Do you have special rules that you're going to have set up for them?
Oh yeah. Well, the spinners on the ramps is that. Well, I mean, spinners are great in general, but I like that spinners on the ramps on a repeating shot, so that you can, like, if you can keep repeating the shot, you can keep spinning the spinners. It offers that. Because usually when you shoot a spinner, the ball's somewhere else, and so you can't get it back and get more spinners. You know? Mm-hmm. But the thing with this game is, you can repeat the spinners if you keep hitting the ramps, but the ramps, the left ramp is easier than the right one. The right ramp's is a little bit more difficult, but that's why I'm paying you to play Filmex on it. Okay? So that's what balances that out. The spinners themselves are in charge of keeping track of how much you've been working on your secret sauce. Okay, so go back to the narrative of the game, right? You also, as the challenger, I've been working on, like, the barbecue challenge, they have their sauces they give you at the competition, but you always have yours. So if you get build up your sauce to 100%, basically you have activated your sauce is automatically better than theirs, so that will give you a better rating when you win the challenge. So it's sort of as you're shooting the spinners, as you're shooting the ramps and the other things, if you make sure to build that meter up to match and have your sauce, that means you're going to get a better trophy for doing that. So one of the things I want to make sure to do with this game is that, yes, you can play the game straight through and just bum rush it through and you won't score as much, but if you care, you will be rewarded. It's basically like that. Okay.
You know, so it sounds like a speed run. This is not like, if you speed run the game, you can get to the end, but you're not going to maximize a lot of points. So you need to actually build. Yeah.
Yeah. Not even close. Like, yeah. But
yeah,
so,
you have to construct the modes and go through them.
Right. Yeah. Like, for example, just the basic cook off, the foundation of the game. All cooking is orange shots. Orange shots is always cooking. Orange, right? If you could just shoot the orange shots for level one, go into the saucer that's lit orange, and you're done. but you didn't really do anything.
Okay.
So you might leave that with 7-8 million, maybe. Mm-hmm. But if you remember to spin up your sauce to 100%, that upgrades you a trophy. If you remember to get some side orders at the drop targets, make your macaroni and cheese and your coleslaw while you're cooking, show your multitasking abilities, shoot those drop targets. I'm paying you for that because if you shoot those drop targets, you might drain from them. So I'm going to pay for that. You remember to do those. And the most difficult part of it, if you can get your meter correct, if you can get your flavor at the right level that the judges want, that gives you another level. So the perfect, doing all of those things and then winning, then that gives you the biggest multiplier, right?
So does this game have
to do that? You don't have to do that. You just don't. You just won't make this money. So
does this game have an ending then? Like, once you finish the, does it like end the game if you get to the end?
Now, if I say right now the Barry's final is being worked on, so it's going to loop to the next contestant so that you can light your locks. You know, you have to win a cook off to light the locks. So there's not a hard end yet. That's one of the updates we have to go through. Okay, so but the wizard mode you face will be based on your performance. It's not. I don't want to say any more about that yet because it's not in the game at this particular version. But it will be. So depending on what you do during the main competitions and depending on what wizard mode you face, and that's all I'm going there. Right? One is a Barry tribute for a specific reason. So one of them is that. But but that's just the cook-off part. Then you have the mode part, you know, and you do certain modes, you get certain perks for doing certain modes, you know, like I'd give you one. If you do ignition mode, ignition involves the barbecue pit targets, you know, those six targets there, right?
Okay.
If you finish it, you get the ability where you hit a barbecue pit target and you get spotted another one. So it making it easier to finish for the rest of that ball. Don't drain because you lose it, all right? But that's another game. We already mentioned this game, but that's another callback to which game? Doctor Who, Doctor One, Doctor Four. Both of those did that, where you hit a target and it gave you another one. So you can use that to get some barbecue pit targets and get more awards really quickly, but they're very dangerous, so don't drain and whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, gameplay. You know, so that's just one of the perks. There are other perks like ramps are worth more and orbits are worth more and what else? Saucers are worth more, things like that. So there are lots of things that you can build a play field. You can sort of build like a godlike play field if you last long enough, but don't drain because it's gone. You know, so that could be one way to come back from somebody who's gotten hundreds of millions is you just do a few modes, get a play field X, and then you're good. That's another thing I'm hoping to see is that I want to see from hundreds and thousands of games, is there a part of the rule set that's, of course, broken to where if you go too far, you can't catch up from? I think I have multiple things that balance that out, but I want to make sure of that. And if not, then that's just numbers. I can get that. it's fun to see someone, like, finish a cook-off and get, like, 200 million. And they're like, man, I think that's unbalanced. Well, no, because you hit this many food shots, and then you did the sauce, and then you did both side orders, and then you got the meter perfectly correct, and you did it in 50 seconds, so you get a time bonus, and you got a playing field X. I have to pay you for all of that. Right? It's like paid entertainment money. That's what that is, right? So I got it. So yeah, you earned that. I know. Good, legal. Good job. There's a reason why you got 200 and he got 40. Yeah. Okay.
So there are other games that have been introducing like challenge modes or a kind of a warp zone mode where they can warp to a certain part of the game to do, you know, a mini wizard mode or something like that, or a co-op, you know, like 2-on-2 or 1-on-3 or something like that. Are you considering doing anything like that in this game?
Well, I'm sure we get to a point where you consider putting our team play in there. I mean, that's just putting team play in. Like, I mean, I don't want to say officially, but of course, our other games have team play. Why not? Is there something that warps you up something? Yeah, not now. It will be. I'll refer back to the statement of it will depend on how well you do, which wizard mode you see. Again, since I don't want to comment on things that are not officially in this version, but they are in the plan, and so we'll see, you know, what happens there. Okay. I'm kind of prattling on about rules because that's what I do. I mean, being privileged enough to be, like, you know, co-designing with Barry and having to being able to put my rules in a Barry game already geeks me out crazily. But just so forgive me if I'm rattling on.
Well, you're good. You are good, Steve. Like, we appreciate you talking about that stuff. You know, one thing, like I said, Barry has a ton of games. Gorgar, designed Barakora, like you talked about. Joust, so like the legendary Joust. But not Taxi, Travis Murray.
Nope. No.
But how many games, so you've alluded to like at least four of Barry's games that have been referenced in this game. Can you kind of give us a rough idea? How many of his games are?
Yes, I can give you the answer. The answer is 11.
Nice.
Arguably 12, but I'm not really like it. It's a 2-in-1, so I'm saying 11. You know,
okay.
Because you know, I don't want to say because the 12 is kind of a stretch, but because it kind of it's the same idea, but across multiple Barry games, so it's kind of one. So. At Texas Pinball Festival, I brought up a spreadsheet and I hid all 11 in there and had been trying to guess which ones they were, and they got 9 of them. So you know, with some clues,
oh wow,
they got 9 of them. I gave them some clues, of course, but yeah. So there would be 11 because like there's one. There are others that are not on the play field. Like you have to play the game to find one. I alluded to one, which will depend on how well you do in the game. So that's not going to be on the play field. That's in rules. I don't know if I want to. Well, I think it might be fun just to talk about this one. Okay, I'll give one more. It'll be a little bit obvious to people who play it, maybe. Okay, so we're talking about the whole mini screen thing, right? And the mini screen has the recipe value and the multi-ball jackpot always sitting there in your face. It's the base screen.
Okay.
If nothing else is happening, like a mode or whatever, it's those two big numbers looking at you, right? Always asking if you're going to go for it now or now, right? So basically, what it's doing is that you're building value in that multiple jackpot with your recipe value. So every shot you make to cook your food for the barbecue contest, you're adding value to that multiple jackpot, right? So it's that number, that multiple jackpot, that you take into the multiple. It's your decision. When you start it, that is your base value. Okay, so if you start at 2 million and I come up after you and I'm like, no, wait, I'm going to try to start it at 2.5 million because my number is going to be better, and that's the base value. It's going to go up from there. Like it's just sort of like ascending. If you've seen the game, like you've seen this little bit of a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire ladder going up, right?
Mm-hmm.
It starts at whatever that base number is. All right, and that's under your control. Like, don't drain it or else you lose some. You know, it's a classic risk reward stuff that should be in games, right? But it's about that number and how well you've been cooking your food, right, without draining, and you can decide when you're gonna start your journey up the ladder. And it's that number that starts counting up that ladder. And that ladder, the way the ladder works, is a reference to a Barry game. And how it works is a reference, rules-wise, to a Barry game. It's one of my favorite multi balls ever. I don't want to go any further. I want to leave it as a spoiler for people to figure it out. But you know, so it is a reference directly to a Barry game. It's just that you instead of accepting the values that this multi-ball gives you, it's whatever you put in. It's whatever what you bring to the table. So if I bring in 5 million and you come up and say, nah, I've got 3.5 million in my multi-ball, I'm going to try working up to 6 million. Okay, let's go. Don't die, by the way. Don't drain. Don't get nothing. But But make sure you actually start to multi-ball so that you can start going up the ladder and trying to take me down. So, yeah, but that would be an example of a Barry game that's not on the playfield.
Okay. So how many modes are in the game, and how many are planned anyway, and how many multi-balls are planned for the game?
All right, so there are 9 modes sitting there in front of you on that little Octothorpe on the bottom there. There's a reason why the Octothorpe is there. I mean, you know, there's a reason why it looks like that. And then you have the Sub-Wizard mode, which is being worked on, which will happen at halftime. That's a multi-ball. You have the Hitmaster multi-ball. It's the main multi-ball. You have the Side Dish multi-ball, which is with the drop targets. You have the wizard mode, depending on which one you get. What else? What other modes? Well, there's other ones that are planned that I don't want to promise, but would make sense. Like, you know, if I have a question, hey, there's 9 modes. What happens if you beat all 9 modes? You know, right? So it's just leading. It's like a leading the witness type question. You know, right?
Sure.
So that would be one, but. You know, but the reason why you have that Octothorpe on the bottom is like, well, what if I beat these 3 modes? What happens then? You know, right? So, what if I beat these 8 modes in this particular way? What happens then? You know, so those wouldn't be modes; those would be like perks and stuff. But more of the tournament aspect of it when we get to it. So you get, that's more of the level 2. Like once you get used to the level 1 stuff of beating a mode, and it's like, you know what, I'm going to try to go after the left column specifically for a reason. He's like, no, I'm going to go after the right column, or I'm going after the middle for a reason. So, yeah. So, I'm looking forward to some people putting together some craziness where they get some like triple, double, 4x super, and they think it's an exploit, and I'm going like, nope, allow it. It's correct. Pay the money. You did everything right, and you didn't drain. I have to pay you. That is correct. You have won the barbecue contest. Well done, sir. Well done, sir. You have done it. So
I've done the math, kind of. So if you guys started this in August of 2021, and it's finally showing in February of 2024, it's roughly about 30 months from start to finish. Was this kind of pushed around in production schedule because of Barry's untimely passing, or was this kind of just always the game plan? Was this game never supposed to come to fruition? Like, it just seems like there's a lot of time.
I was doing this game.
Okay.
Okay.
You're like, this is it. I'm doing it.
Okay. But we're also working on stuff. Like, I'm here. Hey, Steve, go work with Bahala now. Let's make this better.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hey, let's meet Galactic Tank. Okay, good. Do Galactic Tank. Okay, help work with that. Okay, good. Yeah, okay, good. You know, and while I'm doing that, by the way, I have pages and pages of rules and writings and working with Barry and stuff also. So you can do more than one thing. It's just that things take time. So,
yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
Things definitely take time. And, you know, and it's now was a good time. So, yeah, I mean, in between working on this and updating and testing Galactic, updating and testing Legends of Valhalla, getting some more tournament level coding in there with Frank, who did a great job there working with him. So it's just activity. I mean, things take time. I mean, I don't know the exact working with when and what, but I've been here the whole time. All the stuff about timelines and drama and rumors and all this stuff, I've been awakened to all that recently. I'm like, what? Okay, I just wanted to make a great game that Barry and I were working on. That's all. I was just like, what's happening here? What is this?
You're making honestly, looking at this game, you're making the other designers jealous, because this is quite the tribute to Barry. This is a really cool way to honor him.
I didn't want to make them jealous, because I'm a super rookie. I was trying to learn the best he can from Barry, you know, and all that. But once I got that point, I was like, okay, what can I do? How can I pull this off? How can I get everyone on board? And everyone was on board. You know, it's like, of course, it's Barry, you know. How can I get as much Barry-ness in here, but yet not too obvious? You know, like it's not like you have to work through it in order to see. This is like, if you don't know Space Shuttle, yes, the Space Shuttle is in the yard, but there's a reason why the Space Shuttle is in the yard. That's important.
Yeah, right next to the spicy sauce.
Yeah, the reason why it's there is pointing to the Space Shuttle drop targets. But if you don't know, it's like, okay, why is the Space Shuttle there? Well, you'll find out. If you're good enough, you'll find out. You know, but
go to the barbecue challenge on the moon, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, where are we going in this multi-ball? I mean, we're going up this ladder. I don't know. Where are we going? I'm glad it has come out this way. I'm glad it looks the way it does. I mean, it looks great. I'm glad that things came together as far as, you know, rules integration and design. I'm glad I was able to represent Barry in this way. And yeah, I don't know what else to say. Otherwise, I'll just keep saying stuff because I'm just very happy that it has come out. And American Pinball, you know, did it. The team and everybody was working with me doing this and pulled this off. I'm just very excited and appreciative and grateful, really. and just grateful that this happened and that it's out and people can play it. And so now I can get, you know, criticism, positive, negative, which I've been looking forward to, and see, okay, because that's how you learn, you know, okay. I'm learning how the game is not doing a good job teaching the player. You know, I'm going to work on that. You know, learning how things are good, things are not, you know. People aren't able to see this yet. People are seeing this. Okay, right. People aren't going for this in the way I think they would. So this part of the things that I was looking forward to is this process. You know, it's like, yes, it's out. So now I can see, okay, what's good, what's not. Let's see it. All right. So.
Okay, tell me about the different editions and why should someone consider buying the limited edition, and what's the target audience for the standard edition?
All right, why is there only 101?
Well, I'm not a salesman, so I'll do my best.
Sure, but you can at least fill us in.
Yeah, I know that the limited edition has the side lighting. What do we call it? The aural lighting, whatever marketing term we're using for it. But you know, I like that lighting because it's from Galactic Tank Force, right? And so it makes the game look good too. And we get to use some of the lighting there to sync up with light animations and stuff. That's really cool. I think the limited has the plate on it, you know, limited to 100, it is limited to 100, it is limited to 100, okay?
Nice.
All right.
So it's really limited, it's not like 5,000 limited.
That's what Dave told me, that's what everyone has told me, I'm like, good, okay, good, thank you, just whatever the number is, just, okay, just, all right. What else is on the limited? The powder coated legs or something. I'm forgetting some stuff. It's on there.
Okay, Steve, I got you covered here. Okay, it has the red powder coated side armor.
Yeah.
It has the new Aura lighting system pre-installed. It has the magic glass. It has a shaker motor. It has a knocker. It has a limited BBQ cooking apron and a limited edition plaque. So that's what it is. Mm-hmm. The classic edition. So, and that's at $8,495. The classic edition is $6,995. And obviously it has all the same gameplay, I'm assuming.
Everything. Yeah, the gameplay is the same, 100%. That must be the thing.
Okay, but that's actually not, but like for $1,500, like if you want to upgrade to the limited, you're getting powder coating, which by the way, if you do it after, it's about $300. A shaker motor, you're already looking at a couple $100. A knocker, if you put that in afterwards, magic glass, and the R assistant. So you're basically just paying for the upgrades, but really you're getting them all at a reasonable price.
I actually hope so, because that was also part of my goal. I mean, you know, one of my goals is to make it, you know, a game that many people can play. And so it being affordable, or as affordable as we can make it, helps with that.
You know, so
I know, yeah, when you're a designer, you're supposed to over design and let them cut stuff or whatever. And so then, I don't want to prevent people from playing this. I mean, I hope this shows up in a lot of routes. I hope it shows up in a lot of barbecue places. You know, let's get them in some huge barbecue places like the Hard Eight. I went to the Hard Eight at Texas finally. I'll be able to go to the Hard Eight. Everybody talks about the Hard Eight. Yeah, that's the reason why everybody talks about the Hard Eight.
It's good. Yeah,
I believe it. So yeah, let's get one at the Hard Eight. Let's get one at all these barbecue places around here. I want to see them in San Antonio, in my old stomping grounds. And I was working from Baltimore. You know, yeah, I'm really hoping it's easy to buy, easy to route, easy to maintain, and all that stuff. That's I hope will help.
So one question I had too is Berio's running the same board set and stuff that Galactic Tank Force and the other?
It's the new set. It's the new board set. The new board set. Yeah, it's that. So, yes. It is that, yes.
Awesome.
Okay, where are the next places you guys are going? What shows are you guys going to be at? So if people want to drop by and say hi.
We got Midwest Gaming Classic. I know I'm going there. We got a seminar there. I'm definitely going there because the tournament's there. So I've got to go to the Midwest Championship there. Let's see. Pim Brewery Game will be there. The game will be at Fantastic. Definitely going up to Fantastic. Is a third circuit event, so you know I'm going there for that tournament. But, we'll be doing a seminar there. Me and Ryan will be there for that. What else in the future? There's nothing else on this board that I know, but I think it's somehow right outside this door. I could probably look at it and see where they are. But I know about Midwest Game Classic, Pim Brewery, and Fantastic. I know about those because there are literal, markings on this board as to, how many games are going there. I'm just looking over their abs. So I know about that, but we'll definitely be at Midwest, looking forward to that, you know, and I will definitely be at Fantastic, looking forward to that, especially going back east, you know, seeing some of my boys that I've seen since last year, you know, some of the New England boys back there, you know, loving to get some of the New York boys coming over, yeah, that's going to be cool.
And I'm assuming it's going to be at Expo because we're hoping to come to Expo.
Yeah, so. Expo. Of course, 40th anniversary. Yeah, the big hullabaloo, the big shindig, the big 40th anniversary, all the tours, all the majesty, all the pomp and the circumstance, and the barbecue. Yes, you will have that. Yes, definitely.
So the question everyone wants to know, I don't know if you can answer this or not, but how do I get my hands on these sweet Barrio Barbecue Challenge aprons? Like, is this it says limited edition? I don't know if it's like you got to buy
the answer is order in limited edition, but
yeah,
that's as far as I know. But I mean, if Dave were here, maybe he'd be able to provide a more complete answer to that. But as far as I've been told, is like that they're going to the limited edition. So
okay, but you're also wearing a pretty sweet hat. That's a pretty sweet hat that you have on.
Swag. Finally, let's get some swag. Finally, Barrio shirt. Finally,
you got a shirt too. Look at that.
Barrio's Barbecue Challenge shirt, right? On the store, awesome. $20. Size small, yeah. 3XL. I'm surprised I remember that from today.
I think the logo should be lower though. So on your belly, on my belly, it expands as you eat.
So when it looks like this.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're getting our hats going, we're getting our shirts going. It'll be on the site, AmericanPinball.com. Look out for that if it's not already posted already. We've been having some, very recent meetings about getting those on there, getting them on there and circulating everything. So yeah, these will be available, and love the shirt. I will wear it too much. I will wear it too many times. Other people saw in Texas saw a few of us in our Galactic Tank Force hoodies and stuff. That was another shout out. We got called on. People were like, yeah, we love those Galactic Tank Force hoodies. You know, those are going to be in for sale, and they may be. So there was a lot of saying, look out for the site for some Galactic Tank Force stuff as well. So yeah, they love those hoodies. But yeah, as far as the stuff, yes, hat, shirt will be sold. Shirt's already posted, I think. For $20,
all the 3X. Nice. Awesome. Well, Stephen, we thank you for coming on. If someone wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
I am funwithbonus@gmail.com. You can email me there. If I get it amongst all the spam. But I am funwithbonus on most internet platforms, especially Facebook and Instagram and Twitter X. People use Twitter X anymore, whatever. So I am funwithbonus.com. Visit the site. I need to post more there, but I just haven't had a lot of time. So I use the Facebook a lot, the Instagram, to help you out there. But
awesome.
That's me. And see you at the show. See you at the show coming up soon. We'll talk barbecue and fun. Great
time, good.
Guys. Thank you so much for having me on, man. So excited.
For sure.
How excited I get to talk about this game. It's like, because you understand, I am so grateful that this happened. I am so happy and grateful that this happened. And I don't know what else to say. I'm going to just keep rambling because I just have to see someone play and having fun on it and everything,
Well, we're looking forward to checking out in person. We couldn't make it to Texas, but we're definitely making it to Expo.
Awesome.
Yeah. And definitely looking forward to feedback. Anybody who's played it,
yes,
certainly
send it in. I want all the feedback, and as long as it's constructive, I want all the feedback, please, because that's how we learn. That's how we learn. We learn through feedback. We've received feedback already, and so we're working on it. There's a bunch of stuff that's going in right now because of feedback. So look out for further updates.
And speaking of swag, if you want to get Loser Kid swag, go to silverballswag.com/loserkid. We have shirts. We want to thank Steven Strom. Scott saw him over the weekend, and he was sporting our new Loser Kid Attacks pinball shirt.
Yeah, the Loser Kid from Mars pinball shirt. Yes.
Yeah, that one. And if you want to get a hold of us, we are Loser Kid Pinball Podcast @gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, or Twitter, whatever floats your boat there. We're also on YouTube, ta-da, and on Twitch. Hit up, subscribe, like, do all the fancy little things. Even comment. We're getting plenty of comments. I appreciate everyone that's commenting, even on episodes from like a year and a half ago. Like, why is there no gameplay footage to Pulp Fiction here? Well, this was an interview that they released before the game was. Yeah, whatever. But thanks again.
And Scott, if you want to watch our beautiful faces, you can look at YouTube. And my parting thought is I'm hungry now. I want to go get some barbecue.
Me too.
Oh, that's where I'm going. There's a place around here called Big Eddie's in there. I think I'm going there on the way home.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.